Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is the Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. For more information about all the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. That's BROOKLANDBAPTIST.ORG. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 080419. 080419. Long enough. Coming from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6. Deuteronomy 1 and 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. I want to preach about long enough. Say it if you don't mind. Long enough. Long enough. Content. Satisfied. Not looking for or hoping for a change. Comfortable with where you are and what you're doing. Little concern for change. Up with mobility or potential for progress. I am where I am. I like what I'm doing. I'm at ease. Don't bother me. I haven't asked for your help. I don't need your help. Let me be me. I'm in a comfort zone and I don't care to move. Contentment. There's a story about a rich man who was disturbed to see a fisherman sitting lazily beside his small boat. The rich man asks, why aren't you out there fishing? The fish are biting. The lazy man said, because I've already caught 4 fish and that's enough. The rich man said, but the fish are biting. You can catch more fish if you want to. The lazy man said, what would I do with them? Put them in the freezer. Sell them, earn some income. You can really earn enough money and someday, Reverend Joel Salmon, buy a bigger boat so you can go deeper and catch more fish. The more fish you catch, the more money you can earn. And who knows what you can become. You can make enough money, buy you a fleet of boats and become rich like me. The lazy fisherman said, then what would I do? The rich man said, then you can sit down and enjoy life. The lazy fisherman said, what do you think I'm doing now? This man was content, simply going to the lake, getting a couple pieces of fish, so he can have a couple fish sandwiches. He was unemployed, wasn't looking for a job, felt he had been treated unfairly, angry at the world, somebody owed him something. He had given up and took up residence in a hopeless mental state, a being where God did not intend for him to reside. Contentment. Most often, contentment is seen as a good thing, which will stop you from continuing in the rat race to achieve and often attain more and more. It is coming to peace and accepting yourself where you are. It is a state of mind that says, I am where I am, and I am okay with it. Though contentment in some instances is a good thing, the Lord would have us to begin Revival Month by serving notice that there is an aspect of contentment that is negative and needs to be avoided. As a believer, a child of God, be wary of contentment. Contentment has a way of limiting what God can do. Unlike the contented fishermen, Christians are never to be content with where they are spiritually. Paul told the church at Philippi in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Too many Christians are content with where they are. They reside in a comfort zone from which they do not want to move. Often adversarial circumstances have put up a stop sign which keeps them from going forward. They have no drive, no motivation, no ambition, nothing to urge and push and even encourage them to get up and go. They have created a mountain of despair in front of them, and as a result, they are just going in circles. Same old, same old. Life has become a routine, monotonous. Get up and go to work, come back home, get up and go to work. The next day, come back home, get up, go to work. The next day, come back home, maybe come to church every now and then. Wait until the next day, over and over and over. Nothing new. Nothing to look forward to. Nothing exciting. Just going round and around and around and getting nowhere. The Lord told me to tell you that if you find yourself comfortable at the lake, catching three or four fish for some fish sandwiches, you've been there long enough. If you are toying and toiling and haven't gotten anywhere, the word from God for you today is that you've been doing what you've been doing long enough. If you're holding on to your past, can't let go of the mistakes from yesterday, you have been there long enough. If you continue to be frustrated by your failures, God says you've been there long enough. You can't get over him. He hurt you badly. It's now been 7 years. God says, I'm glad you're back in church, Fanny. Long enough. She broke your heart, disappointed you greatly, left you feeling broken and bruised. God says it. You've been talking about exercising in the best interest of your health. God says you've been talking. You've been saying you're going to cut back on pork and fried food. You're going to push back from the table. You're going to watch your diet. You're going to eat healthier. You got to lose some weight. God says you've been talking. You've been holding a grudge long enough, harboring hatred and hostility long enough, not speaking to whoever offended you long enough, not forgiving the person who hurt you long enough. You've been talking about giving your life to Christ long enough, joining the church, coming back to church, joining the choir, becoming an usher, participating in ministry, paying God his tithes, going to Sunday school or Bible study. God says you've been talking long enough. You stayed too long where you are. It is time to move on. This is the message of God for Moses and the children of Israel. God said, you've been sitting at the foot of this mountain long enough. It's time to move on and possess the promised land. Say, promised land. When Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage, they found themselves at Mount Horeb, a place of comfort and security. Moses, their leader, talked with the Lord as a friend talks to a friend. And with emphasis, the Lord said, you have dwelt long enough at the mountain. I don't know whose name is in this sermon, but God is saying today, you've been where you are at a standstill, spinning your wheels, going in circles, making unfulfilled promises, saying what you're going to do long enough. It is time to move forward. This is a season of promise and prosperity. What God has done for those persons whose name I called earlier,
He can do the same thing for you, because it is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he can do the same for you. How many of you know he rewards faithfulness? Sad is the day for any man or woman when he or she becomes absolutely satisfied with the life they are leading, the thoughts they are thinking, and the deeds they are doing. There is so much more in life that God has for you that is above and beyond where you are right now. If you want to be all God has purposed you to be, you've got to leave the mindset which has you trapped and move forward to God's greater for your life. There are new horizons. There are new opportunities, new adventure, new possibilities, and new accomplishments waiting for you. And that's why I celebrate Ed and Mimi. I want to celebrate that service station that God has blessed to come your way. There are opportunities that are waiting for us. You've been where you have been long enough, God says, it's time to move on. If you have been wanting to make a move and you have been looking for God to give you a sign to more progressively move toward a more prosperous life, if you have been asking God to order your steps toward a more fulfilled life, if you have been expecting God to show you the way from where you were to where you are to be purposed in him, the Lord said, today is your day. And God says, you have been in your mental state long enough, and it is time to move. I want this revival to have special meaning to you. I want it to be more significantly impactful in the righteousness of your life than ever before, because God says, open up this month's revival with a reminder to our people that God says it's time to move. I submit to you, however, removing yourself from your comfort zone and moving on toward a more prosperous and fulfilled life is not as easy as it sounds. So here are three words. Here are three words. I told the Lord, Lord, you've given me this. Three words. Let's make it simple to carry from worship today. And the first word is struggle. Say struggle with me if you don't mind. Struggle. It is not easy letting go and moving on. It is a struggle. There's some hard work involved in change. Change does not come easy. And too many folk want it to happen overnight. We want to push some buttons, dial a few numbers, say a few holy words, and think that instant and permanent change will take place. And that's why oftentimes there is the appearance of change, and then within a few weeks or month, you're back to the same old you. Because we expect it instantly. We want to be able nowadays to Google it, and the promised land is ours. And that's one of the reasons we stay where we have always been, because if it doesn't happen right away, we give in and give up because we Googled it. Getting up where you have become comfortable and moving into the unknown, though you desire it, is a struggle. And the reason changing your mindset requires struggle is because we have been programmed to act and react in certain ways. Our culture and circumstances have a way of programming us. Theologians call it negative capabilities. Psychologists call it learned behavioral responses. The Bible calls it sin. We have been programmed to sin. In other words, Satan does not want us to have what God has for us. And Satan is anti-Christ and in opposition to all who follow Christ. So when you are ready to try and make a change in your life, Satan will show you all the reasons why you should not. Satan will throw all the obstacles in your way to hinder and handicap, to deter and detour you from moving to where God has already destined you to be. Stumbling blocks he'll throw in your way. He'll dig ditches for you to fall into and set traps to trip you. Satan knows you have potential. Satan knows that God has a plan for you to prosper you. Satan knows that God wants to lead you to an expected end. Satan knows that God is to deliver you to your destiny. So he blocks your progress and he prevents your ascent. It's a struggle to change behavior, change your lifestyle, change your, give up old habits, old ideas, old attitudes, and leave people who alone, who don't want to go where you're trying to go, and will keep you from going to where God wants you to go and where your heart's desire is set on going. May I tell you something? If you cut loose some of those folk you're hanging with, I need some Holy Ghost witnesses what I'm about to say here. If you cut loose some of them folk, you can't have nothing because you always got to give them something. They're always asking for something. Always put it on something. Every time they look around, they got their hand out. They ain't going nowhere themselves. Don't want you. If you cut loose some of those folk, God will give you some new friends who will help you reach your goals and will walk with you to the promised land. I know I got some witnesses in here because I know some of you who had to give up some folk who were holding you back, and that's why you're where you are right now. You had to cut some folk loose. You got to let go of some folk. Leaving the place of long enough and moving on to your promised land requires struggle. The second word God gave me is strategy. Say strategy. Strategy. If you are serious about moving on with your life, and not sitting at ease in your comfort zone at the foot of the mountain, you will need the proper strategy. If you are serious, you're tired of being where you are, you will need a strategy. Struggle requires strategy. And the strategy is this. Don't try to change the program. Instead, change the programmer. What you talking about, Pastor? That sounds pretty good. What you talking about? Don't try to change the program. Change the programmer. You see, some of the habits you're wanting to change are so deep in you. And you have been so long in that mental state. You have been procrastinating so long. You have been making excuses so long. You have been holding on to a situation so long. And have been where you are so long that you cannot move on by yourself or on your own accord. You cannot do it on your own. You got to turn it over to the programmer. And that's why some of us cannot overcome the struggle, because we're trying to move on without the help and aid of the programmer. We have got to give it to the Lord. Lord, I can't do this by myself. Lord, this is a tedious journey. I can't make this journey by myself. I've tried, but I keep on failing. I need help. Lord, help me. Is there anybody ever really had to cry out on your move toward a greater life? Lord, help me, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. And the Lord says, all right, you're crying out for me to help you? Let's do it together. Let's become partners. You make one step. Listen to your helper. Listen to your helper. You make one step. I'll make two. You take the initiative and I'll see you through it. You start out and I'll finish it for you. You do your best and I'll take care of the rest. I will help you. I can tell you the Bible is right when it says, oh, my help. That's why the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. All my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The proper strategy is to change the programmer. Draw nearer to Christ. Let Sunday morning find you in the church. Read and study God's word. Spend time in prayer. Feed the Holy Spirit. Get you a prayer partner. Talk to a spiritual mentor. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Change the programmer. Think like Jesus thought. Talk like Jesus taught. Walk like Jesus walked. Do like Jesus did. More like Jesus would I be. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not my word, but the word of God will I hide in my heart. Not my way, but have thine own way, Lord. Jesus can deprogram the old you and reprogram the new you, while at the same time loving the whole you. Strategy. Victory in every struggle requires the proper strategy. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our own intelligence, no. Through our educational attainment, no. Through our material wealth, no. Through our family name, no. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The strategy is to turn it over to the program. If you have been content and feel satisfied and comfortable with where you are, but are now ready to move to the next level, next chapter in your life, remember struggle, remember strategy, and then third, remember strength. Say strength. Strength. As you try to implement the strategy for your struggle, you will need strength. Dr. Dean Jameson, you need strength. As long as you're trying to prove on your own strength, prove something to you that you can do on your own, you've got a problem. As long as your strength, or you think your strength is sufficient, you're in trouble. As long as you think you can work it out on your own, you will always be the same old self, no matter how hard you try. If moving to your promised land depends on your strength, then as soon as your strength fails, then the whole process falls apart. And that's why we oftentimes find ourselves starting all over again. The key to implementing the strategy to overcome the struggle is to realize where your strength comes from. You've got to know whose strength you can depend on. It's not your strength. It's always His strength. His strength empowers us on our way. His strength keeps us moving up Zion's hill. His strength pushes us up the King's highway. The psalmist says in 46:1, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. I like the way David said it. In Psalm 27:1, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And it goes on down there in verses 13 and 14 and says, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait, I say on the Lord, and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. I think all of us like it the way Isaiah put it. In Isaiah 40:29, 30, 31, he says he gives power to the faint, and them that have no might, he increases their strength. The young men shall utterly fall, and the youth shall faint and be weary, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I tell you, and I would you embrace this hymn poet today, when the troubles rise in my life, when I'm trying to get from where I am to where God has predestined me to be, sometimes I feel a little weak, so I cry out, God, me, oh, the great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me. Hold me. Oh, I better stop. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Yeah. I gotta preach again. I better stop. This is not a revival. I better stop. It's time to move on. You've been with that mindset long enough. It's a struggle. You need the proper strategy. And you've got to rely on God's strength. Let the church say amen. Come on, choir. I invite you to Jesus today.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. In order to obtain a copy of this service, please reference number 080419. 080419, long enough. Give us a call, 803-796-6103. 803-796-6103 is the number to call. Please include this in your library. Let's get a word from our pastor. Hello, Pastor Jackson.
Hello, I am Reverend Charles B. Jackson, senior pastor of the Brooklyn Baptist Church. I want to take a moment and thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast. Consider joining us at our weekly service, 8:15 a.m. or 11 a.m.
If you would like to contribute to the ministry of building the next generation of believers, please go to our website at www.brooklandbaptist.org and click on the giving icon. We look forward to meeting you and your family in the future at Brookland.